Today's sermon is out of Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6. We're going to read them in a second, but as you find your place in your Bibles, I want to tell you that the sermon today really deals quite a bit with the doctrine of election. Now, election, put simply, is the act where God in eternity past chose those who will be saved. And God's election of certain individuals is unconditional because it does not depend on anything outside of God. Meaning this, that God does not look to things like good works or his foreknowledge of one's faith. And while there are some who deny it, election is repeatedly and very clearly taught throughout Scripture. Here's what the Bible teaches. It teaches that prior to salvation, all people are spiritually dead in sin. In one's state of spiritual death, the sinner is unable to respond favorably to God. As a matter of fact, while dead in sin, we are unable to love God, we're unable to obey God, and we are unable to please Him in any way. The Bible actually teaches that the mind of every unbeliever is hostile toward God and at enmity with Him. So when we say spiritual death, when the Bible talks about spiritual death, it describes a state of total and complete hopelessness. And the end result of that is that no sinner, none, can ever make the first move towards God in the process of salvation. This is why the Bible repeatedly teaches over and over again that one's salvation is wholly the work of God. He alone initiates salvation. He alone provides the means of salvation, and He alone moves us to accept salvation. It is all established by God in His election. So, with that in mind, I'm going to read for you Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. Let me pray with you. Father, so thankful for Your word this morning here in Ephesians. The powerful lesson we find in it. I pray, Father, that You would soften our hearts, prepare our ears to receive it, our hearts to grasp a hold of the truth of Your word. Father, and strengthen me, Your preacher, that I might be obedient and faithful in the preaching of Your word, that in it You alone would be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. Well, It's hard for me to believe. I was just talking about this the other day. And I'd like to think that I don't look it, but my kids will tell me different. I'll be celebrating 30 years since I graduated high school this year. I graduated in 1989, which is, I can't believe, right? No one's applauding, so I mean that they're probably telling me then that I look my age. And although there are many things that I cannot remember about high school, I do remember gym class. Any of you remember gym class? And I remember the feeling that I had when we would choose teams and the boost of confidence and self-esteem that I'd get if I was picked early, you know, if you're one of the first kids chosen. And the good news for me, I'll have you know, is that I was always the first or second kid chosen when picking teams. Who's the guy who does the rest of the story? Remember that? And the rest of the Paul Harvey. The rest of the story, the sad reminder is that I was one of only two boys in a class of seven. So I was always sure to go first or second. At least I can say I was always in the top five. And obviously I'm joking here a bit, but I'm sure it's also something that you can relate to. See, we all like to be chosen, don't we? Chosen as a friend, chosen for a job, chosen to give advice, chosen to be part of a team. We simply want to fit in. We want to be wanted. And this is exactly where today's text come in, because like I stated before we read it, Paul is really pointing us to God's election, to his election of those who belong to him. Paul is pointing to those who are chosen in Christ. And while I use my school gym class as an illustration, God is not choosing us to play a game, but he's choosing us to salvation. And unlike my illustration, God does not choose us because we're good at something. He doesn't choose us due to something that he sees in us. It is not because we are better than anyone else. It's not because we've earned his choosing. It's not because we were seeking him. It's not because we deserve it. It is purely by his grace. I want to read you just a few texts that speak to God's election. Romans 3:11 first states that there is no one who seeks God. No, not one. None of us seeks him. Acts 16:14 tells us that Lydia was saved when the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. God initiated. We read the moment in the Word this morning, Romans 8:28-29, for whom God foreknew. Now, notice something here. When we read this, for whom God foreknew, it's not speaking to his foreknowledge of faith, that God foreknew that we would believe in him. It's saying he foreknew us. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestined, he also called. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Of course, John 6:44, Jesus states, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. It's always a work of God. And the Bible very clearly teaches that we are all sinners, dead in our transgressions, and that the only way any of us can be saved is by the sovereign election of God as he chooses some for salvation and then draws them to himself. We see over and over again in Scripture that our election is not due to anything in us, but is only by God's grace. The Bible teaches that even our faith is a gift. So I want you to pay close attention this morning, because I think this message is an important one. Are you chosen by God? If so, then why are you chosen? What is your purpose? What are those blessings that come from being chosen by God? Well, these are some of the questions I hope to help answer for you this morning as we look at our text today. And as we start here in verse 4, Paul states in today's text that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, some might attempt to say, and have attempted to say, that they chose God. But the Bible does not teach that. And I want to be very clear here. Pastor Kirby talked about this last week, I believe, or maybe the week before, about two parallel truths. God is sovereign and we still have free will. Every single one of us has free will. We all have the opportunity to choose God or to reject God. The problem with our will, though, is that it is bound to sin. That's one of Luther's most famous writings, Bondage of the Will. The problem is that our will outside of Christ is directed against God, and we always, always reject Him. John 3:20, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. See, they rejected God because they wanted to hold on to sin. We rejected God when we didn't know Him because we preferred our sin. We were in bondage to that sin. But when we are made alive in Christ, we are regenerated. We are given a new nature. We are reborn. We're no longer in bondage to sin. We now desire God, and we willingly submit to Him as God. Election simply teaches that our salvation comes from the Lord. And Paul makes this point very clear in verse 1 of Ephesians 1, stating that our salvation is by the will of God. And Paul goes on in this very chapter to say that God chose us. He predestined us. He gave us. He lavished grace upon us. He purposed us. He included us. And He marked us with the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's God's work from beginning to end. But that doesn't mean that we don't choose Him once He draws us to Himself. We choose God, but we choose Him because He first chose us. We choose God because of His election. God frees us from bondage to sin so that we can freely choose Him. And I spoke about, just very briefly, about being chosen in gym class. But see, that was based on me. It was based on something that I had to offer the team that chose me. However, it's different with God. The text today states that if you belong to God, that before the foundation of the world, God chose you in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, God knew you. Think about that. Before the foundation of the world, God loved you. For if you belong to God, there has never been a single moment ever when God did not know you, or a time when God did not love you. In eternity past, God set His love on you and He chose you. And it's important for us to remember that this election, it's not by accident. It's not by some random chance. For divine election has its foundation grounded in eternity's past, as the text today states. We have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. God knew us and chose us before the world even existed. And I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about the words, He chose us, because the word here in Greek, in its proper context, here's what it means: to pick or choose for one's self. That's what it means. In the Old Testament, with the Greek here word to choose, I think it provides with some insight about how it's being used here in Ephesians. Because in the Old Testament, the verb to choose is used to speak about God choosing out Israel from all other nations for Himself. They were a chosen people that He chose for Himself. And God choosing Israel for His specific purpose of being the instrument through which He would bring salvation to all other nations, at least to those that would receive it. Now, when we read about God choosing Israel from among all other nations, that choosing does not in any way imply that those other nations are refused salvation. As a matter of fact, the salvation of Israel was partly for the purpose of making salvation possible to other nations. And this is important here because in Ephesians, to choose speaks to us today in exactly the same way. The people of God have been chosen by God and chosen for a purpose. While we were still sinners, God elected us out from all other men and women. And we have been chosen in part for the purpose of being instruments in the hand of God, through which the knowledge of salvation might be brought to all other men and women, so that any person who puts their faith in Christ, so that any person who fully trusts in Jesus as their Lord and Savior would be saved. And so why do I make this point? I make it because it's immediately dismisses this idea or the notion that any person who is not chosen by God is in some way not offered salvation. Salvation is a gift to all who believe. And those who reject God are responsible for that decision. And all will have to give account to God for their sins. So you may ask, okay, then why did God choose me? Why? That's a fair question, isn't it? Why would God choose us? I think I found an answer here for us in Deuteronomy 7 and 8. As Moses speaks to a people chosen by God, listen to what he says. He says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who were on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you." That's why. How many of us need to hear that word today? That God knew you and he chose you. Not because of some condition you needed to meet. Not because you earned it. He chose you because he loves you. God loves you and chose you before the foundation of the world was laid. And he had a plan for you, each of you, before the world was even created. Election by God means that it is 100% a work of God. He alone chose. He alone predestined. He alone has freely given. He alone elected. And he did this to the praise of his glorious grace, and so that we would glorify him and not ourselves. And this doctrine completely eliminates any opportunity we might have for boasting. Matter of fact, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by work, so that no man can boast." Again, this Greek verb here, to choose, it has another meaning. We stated this a little bit earlier, but I think the verb gives meaning of taking or setting apart something for oneself. And it's also important to say that while we recognize one is chosen, it is not because one person has more value than another. I think the point here is this. God chooses certain individuals for himself. And this choosing is a work of grace as those individuals belong to God. And we are to be used then for his specific purpose according to his own will and plan. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2, "To God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Christ. 1 John 15. John states this to his disciples. I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. So when we are chosen by God, it is for a purpose. It's for His purpose to be obedient, to bear fruit for Him. And Paul tells us that this election in Christ, that our salvation was made before the foundation of the world. So you are chosen in Christ. Before God laid the foundations of the world, before He spoke all things into existence, He already knew you. He already chose you. He already loved you. And He created you. He regenerated your spirit. He redeemed you from sin. He called you to Himself. And He did it all of this according to His great purpose and love for you. So you may then say, what is my purpose? Well, here in Ephesians 1:4, Paul says that our election is to holiness, so that we should be holy and blameless before Him. I want to say that the words holy and without blame do not refer to the Christian standing as a justified and redeemed person, but to one's holy character as a child of God. For we are a separated people, separated from evil and dedicated to the worship and service of God. And so I want to remind you that your election is to a life of holiness before God. We are to live for Him and according to His purpose and plan for our lives, which is to be holy as He is holy. We are to be set apart for Him. And Paul makes sure to remind us of that important truth in this text. And many times we hear holy being defined as to be separate. Anybody heard that definition for holy? Separate, be separate. See, but the Greek language has always had it at the idea of difference. See, the Christian is to be distinctly different. Yes, we are to be set apart for God, for His purposes, but I think the church has often mistaken the meaning of this. The separation we speak about is not a separation from the world, but a difference expressed in the world. Does that make sense? I'll say that again. The separation we're talking about this morning is not a separation from the world, but a difference expressed in the world. See, we are to live as part of this world. We can't be isolated and separate from it. However, we are to live in this world distinctly different than everyone else, because we have been chosen for a purpose. And that purpose is to be different, to be the shining light of Christ to the rest of the world. God wants to use each of us to bring the message of the gospel to the lost in how we live, in how we think, in how we talk, how we treat each other, how we testify to the love and grace of God in our lives, to make our entire lives an offering to God. We do this most effectively in how we love God and in how we love others. And so I want us all to realize our calling to do these things. And again, what we read in the other two texts, that we are called to be obedient to Christ so that we might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We do that by being distinctly different. And as we continue along here in the text, we see in verse 5 that we were elected, that we were predestined for adoption in Christ. This word adopted, I think it really hit me this week. Just spending time on this text and preparing for today's sermon. Because it means that we are officially, I don't know how to emphasize this enough. You are officially part of God's family. That is a provision of your election. It tells us that we are the children of God. We are His children. He's our Heavenly Father. See, the Bible teaches that when we were living in sin before we knew Christ, we were children of wrath, at enmity with God. But now Paul is telling us that we are children of God and that we belong to Him. I want to help you understand this because it's so important for you to get this today. In the Roman world, adoption was an important and it was a common practice. See, today we write a will and we leave our wealth really to anyone we want, male or female, family or friend. But in the Roman world, a man typically had passed his wealth on to his son or sons. And if a man didn't have any sons, or if he felt like his sons were either incapable of managing his wealth or unworthy of it, he would have to adopt someone who would qualify as a worthy son. And these adoptions, they were not infant adoptions like we see today. In the Roman world, older boys or adult men were normally adopted. When the adoption was legally approved, the one being adopted, please listen, the one being adopted would have all of his debts canceled and he would receive a new name. He would be the legal son of his adoptive father and he would then be entitled to all the rights and benefits as a son. And what's interesting is that a father could disown his natural born son, but an adoption was irreversible. Paul's writing to Roman audiences, and he uses the metaphor of adoption, which a Roman audience would have understood. Paul is saying that when we come to faith in Christ, all of our debts are canceled. We are given a new name and we are entitled to all the rights and benefits that the heirs of God possess. See, one difference from Roman adoption is that Christians are not adopted because God thinks we will make worthy heirs. God adopts people who are completely unworthy. Because he adopts on the basis of his grace, on the basis of his love. So here, we are now part of God's family forever. And our adoption is irreversible. The biggest difference for us today is that we do not have to wait to inherit our blessings in Christ. They are available to his people today. God the Father is our Father, and we are his sons, and we are his daughters. Galatians 4, I want to read you verses 3 through 5. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And if a son and a daughter, then an heir through God. See, the point here this morning is to encourage you. It's to remind you that you are children of the Most High God, the Creator of all. Because you are His, you can approach Him with confidence that He both hears your prayers and He answers your prayers. And if you are His child, you can also leave here today with hope. When we know that God chose us, we also know that God has a plan for us. There isn't anything that happens in our lives without God's purpose behind it. There isn't anything that happens by chance or by accident. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. If God had worked out your salvation before the foundations of the world were built, then surely He is fully capable of working all things to the good of those who love Him, to His children. And as Paul closes this text here in Ephesians 1, he does so with the words, He has blessed us in the Beloved. You see, this means that God has blessed us and that He has accepted us now in Christ. In ourselves, we are not acceptable to God, but when we are in Christ, we are made accepted. And I want to read this, this text from you. It's from Paul's letter to Philemon, and I think it's a beautiful and rich illustration to help see this truth. It's a few verses, but I want you to listen to this, and we're going to make the connection. You'll see the connection because it's fairly obvious. For love's sake, this is Paul. For love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge it all to my account. This is exactly what Christ does for us. Though we have sinned, Christ says to the Father, receive this saint as you would receive me. For you and I are one, and now this saint is one with us too. See, through our election, through our adoption, God has accepted us. Again, not on account of something that is acceptable in us, but because Christ has made us acceptable in the eyes of God. And all of our sin is charged to His account, while His righteousness is credited to our account. This is why we call it alien righteousness, because it doesn't belong to us. Jesus took our sins, he took our transgressions, and then he clothed us in his righteousness, making us acceptable to God. This is important for us to know, to give thanks for. It also gives us assurance of faith in Christ, doesn't it? Because if you were chosen in Christ, you can leave here today knowing that you are accepted by God and assured of your salvation. For if the grounds of your salvation, of my salvation, were in ourselves or in our own works, then our salvation would be as unstable and as untrustworthy as we are. Calvin states that if our faith were not grounded in God's eternal election, it is certain that Satan might pluck it from us every time. So we can leave here knowing that our salvation is secure in the hands of God. For he elected us, he adopted us, and he has accepted us as he secured our salvation for us in Christ. I want to summarize for you this morning what we covered here. That we are saved by God's election, that he chose us before the foundation of the world were laid, that it's according to his will, so that we might be holy in his sight. And if God has elected you, then you are also adopted into his family. And God accepts you as his own child. And you are called for a purpose, to be distinctly different from the world, to be holy in his sight. So if you have placed your faith in Christ, then you belong to God. And you can leave here today with confidence as a child of God. You can leave here today knowing that God loves you and has a purpose for you. And you can leave here today with the assurance that your salvation in Christ is secure. And as I close here, whether you are elected by God or not, salvation is available to all. If you've not turned to Christ, then I urge you to place your trust and your faith in him today. If you do, then you will be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ and know what it means to be a child of God. And my prayer is that each of you here today would know the hope, would know the peace, and the assurance that comes from placing your faith in Christ. My prayer is, as we discuss today in our sermon, my prayer is that each of you is chosen in Christ. Let me pray with you. Father, we're so overwhelmed, Lord, by your goodness and your love and your grace. The things that we see here in your word this morning, that before the foundation of the world was laid, you knew us. You loved us. That you chose us for yourself. Father, help us to receive these truths this morning. I pray that your Spirit might encourage us, strengthen us, direct us, give us hope and peace. Father, bless all those here this morning and their families, Father, with your grace and mercy. Let all of those here today be of your elect. The words that went forth would stir in their hearts, that your Spirit would regenerate them, and that they would come to faith in Christ. And let us remember, Lord, that you have called us for a purpose, that we are your children, to be distinctly different in this world, for your honor, for your glory, in Christ's name. Amen.